this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
I did it.
Yeah.
Looks like it's
recording. I hit record.
Nice.
Mine's recording too.
Oh, well, aren't you Miss Important Person?
It's true. So, welcome.
Shut up.
To
you don't know. I'm important. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Welcome to our podcast. Welcome to Feature Creep, colon.
Built-in microwave, semicolon. What did you call this one?
Oh,
you had a great title.
Oh, and tell me how you're going to kill some billionaires without telling me.
AKA Titan sub drama, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
So we were just looking up, the like vital information about a couple of the people who died in the Titan sub last summer. It was last summer, right? It's been a year, right?
Yeah. June 18th. It's been over a year.
Yeah. So we were looking this up because I found a story that was like, ooh, video of the prototype for the doomed Titan sub surfaced, and it shows it didn't even make it through testing
before
it was taking on water, right?
Yeah.
And so we were like watching it, and Ned looked up the vital statistics of the people who were aboard, and hilariously,
even though
this is just like straight facts and it's not intended to be hilarious, unintentionally hilarious, is that the entries for who Hamish Harding and
Shahzada Dawood
say that they died in June of 2023 in the North Atlantic. Which is just funny.
It's just like died June 18th.
Died.
North Atlantic. Yep. Like
all of the North Atlantic, just out there.
I'm not swimming in the North Atlantic for at least another year until all of that's been cleaned up.
Right. Gross.
Disgusting.
That's even worse than fish poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're swimming in rich people dead bodies.
Rich people's dead bodies. The video that we watched was from The Independent, and the video showed them mucking around with
mucking around indeed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This eensy weensy little prototype of the thing that they wanted to build in full scale that looked like a stripped down minivan, like inside
a carbon fiber pressure vessel, which they chucked into a simulation chamber where they could simulate high pressures, or basically affect high pressures on the vessel underwater.
Yeah. And one of the conical ends took on water during the test. They had to abort the test. But what is striking to me about this is like two things immediately, because the video was only a minute and 20 seconds long.
Yeah.
One thing that I found striking was that they created this little like diorama version of their Titan sub, but I don't think that from an engineering perspective they did it right, because if you're so they put this, they make a tiny scale model of this big thing, but like I don't know that it was actually to scale. Like, for example, there's a ratio, like if you have the miniature little sub was made out of the same components as the larger sub that people actually occupied.
Yeah.
You have to have like incredibly thin walls on the little one to maintain the size ratio between the big one and the little one, to maintain the like material properties of the materials that you use to make both the large one and the small one, and have them respond accordingly to this high pressure. If you have a tiny little diorama version that has walls the same thickness as the big one, now you're not actually testing You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's
a way to say this for people who actually work in engineering. I don't, so I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, nothing about what I looked at in this video made me think, okay, they were really careful to ensure that the tolerances and the, like, points of failure and the materials that they used on the little one responded the same way that the big one would respond to the same pressure pressing on it.
So I think a good way to visualize this a little bit is the idea of scale miles per hour. So let's mm-hmm. say you build a tiny little car, right? So it's like yeah. 1/10 the size of your car. And then the argument is that if I drive that car at 10 miles an hour, I'm actually driving it at 100 miles an hour. Like, it's the equivalent mm-hmm. of 100 miles an hour.
Sure.
And some things don't actually scale that way.
Like, right.
Because, and I think this is the heart of what you're getting at. Like,
yeah.
maybe they scaled the proportions of the wall correctly, whatever, but there's some things that don't actually scale like that. Like,
yep.
you can't, for instance, a smaller car going 10 miles an hour is not actually equivalent of driving the larger car at 100 miles an hour.
At 100.
Or more, right. because the air pressure doesn't scale that way. Like, yes. it scales a little bit in terms of your profile, but it's not like, and so these are the problems, right? Is it's like,
right.
like
is what you're testing even relevant
yeah,
with this tiny exactly. diorama?
Right.
Clearly not. Clearly not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe so, because it did fail in the test, and then they also turned into jelly at the bottom of the ocean. So, right. like,
yes, God, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny.
It is funny.
No, it's not funny.
It's funny.
No, it's not funny.
It's really funny.
Okay. No, it's not funny. It's not funny. Be nice. Ned,
it is not funny.
That's right.
It's hilarious.
It's you know. It's all the things. Like, it.
There were a million times that people tried to intervene. There was a fucking guy who was a whistleblower on the team
yes.
building the thing who was like, hey, this is going to kill people. And the expressions of belligerence that
yes.
come
yeah.
came out of Stockton Rush were like, at some point, okay, case in point, right?
Yep.
I was with some friends one time. We went out to a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Uh-huh.
Because somebody wanted to eat wings. I don't know. It wasn't me. I don't even know why I went along for this. But we were there. And a friend of ours who is deceased now, like, got in the middle of somebody else's fight unwittingly.
Yeah.
And, like, at the time he was sober because he ultimately died of pancreatitis because he just wouldn't stop drinking. And so he, like, was not drinking at the time, which is where the irony comes in. yes. And he got kind of sucked into somebody else's bar fight by accident. And then Buffalo Wild Wings called the cops and the cops showed up and they wanted to kick our friend Pete out. And we were like, no, don't kick him out. He didn't do anything. It was an accident that he even got, like, involved in the scuffle or whatever. He was trying to go to the bathroom. Like, he was trying to walk to the bathroom and got, like, in the middle of this fisticuff.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
damn. Yeah.
So, like, we all go outside and we're talking to the cops and they're like, you know, this guy, what's the story with this guy? We're like, he's our friend. He didn't even mean to get involved, but whatever, like, unwitting bystander and please don't take him to jail. But Pete wouldn't stop running his fucking mouth off.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, everybody in our group, one of us literally threw our hands up in the air and said, you know what? It's fine. Just take him to jail.
That's
like, I don't know what else to do.
It's
he
funny.
Won't shut up.
Yeah. There's situations
totally
like,
innocent.
Like, this is
he
the way my
himself into getting
brother,
arrested.
Like, he'll just yeah. fucking talk himself into a ticket if there's a cop within 10 miles. Like,
right.
It's
right.
just like,
same deal.
You can't.
Same deal.
I get it.
What
I mean,
you do?
The shit he's saying, I'm like, yeah, fuck that cop. That guy's a dick. But, like, dude, he's the one with the gun.
Right.
And you can't stop. Like, this is the cross you're going to die on today.
Right.
I got to go to jail right now. I really need to.
They took him to jail.
Because when you get there, then you'll prove them right. Then, because we all know that's how that works.
Yeah.
Then they get their comeuppance.
It gets easier the more you escalate through the justice system.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
We all know this, right? That's why nobody's in jail.
Right.
So I just think of Stockton Rush as kind of in the same belligerent mindset where it's like,
yes,
you will talk yourself into killing yourself because you refuse to listen to anyone around you.
Right.
And like, it's because what he was doing was in international waters and like all this stuff. And there's like, it's kind of like a, not strictly speaking in the most philosophical sense, but it's kind of like a tragedy of the commons. Like, it's nobody's business to tell him what to do in the middle of the ocean, right?
Right.
So like,
right.
Nobody could stop him. So like, he could have just done the amazing thing and lived to tell about it, but he chose at almost, I would say confidently, every step where there was a point of failure, he opted for the failure route instead of the success route.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah. Every fork in the road between live and die, he consistently chose die over and over and over and over again.
Yep.
And I feel like part of the reason is because he was a dilettante. He didn't understand anything about engineering. He decided to do something that, quote, nobody had ever done before. And without asking the very important question, is there a good reason why nobody's done it this way before? Turns out there's great reasons, because like, the materials he used in the circumstances he used them were not suitable for the conditions. And like, a million people tried to tell him that who actually knew better, and he just wouldn't listen to it. And so I think it's hilarious that he's dead. It's too bad they took that kid along with them, because you know, the other people on that craft were like totally adults, and they totally knew what they were getting into, and they had all of the information they needed to make an informed decision not to go because it was too risky. And they all, it took that die fork in the road too.
I mean, I could argue that they didn't, like, strictly speaking, they didn't have that information, but they were old enough to know that they were choosing not to have that information. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yes,
like,
they,
it's,
had
not
agency. They could have done the research.
Right, exactly.
Not to mention, like, when we talked about this in the other episode, when Damon joined us, I think we mentioned that there was no, like, any idea, any concept of attaching informed consent to this process with the Titan sub is, like, preposterous. There was no, like, people knew all the bad shit, and they knew that it was, like, experimental, and they knew that there were lots of people who were speaking out against the way it was designed, and like, people just did it anyway, and like, there was a lot of deception involved and a bunch of stuff. But I think that anyone who was a passenger on it could have known. They could have known, and they should have done their homework, and they didn't. And so many things about that sub were like circumventing the right, best benchmarked, a widely acceptable best practices way of doing anything that they did. And also, like, I'm sorry, just any layperson with eyeballs should have been able to take one look at the interior of that fucking thing and been like, I'm not getting in this. I wouldn't even trust you to put this in a bathtub.
Right.
Like, it looked like an elevator, like the inside of an elevator, or like a minivan with all the seats taken out.
Yeah.
It, like, to take a craft down to the bottom of the ocean is more difficult than going to outer space in some ways. So something that has an up and a down button inside, like an elevator, is not going to cut it. And like, if you're half as smart as you think you are, because you paid all this money to go on the sub or whatever, then you should have been intelligent enough
to
look at that thing and be like, this is not sufficient
to,
like, even go across a lake. Like, we're not getting in this thing.
Yeah.
And then that guy, like, cajoled his kid into going.
Well,
he put a minor in harm's way.
The thing that would have just done it for me, like, if I had even gotten that far, is just where they're like, and we can't get out without a rescue crew.
Right.
You just can't. There's no way to get out.
Right.
You will die in this tube if no one else is on the outside who has the tools to get you out.
Right. Yes. That was the, they had to be bolted in. You couldn't get yourself out from the inside. Like,
which, you know, I mean, one could argue there's, you know, other situations where that's true, but all of those situations make me think twice about.
Well, I'll tell you one situation like that, that they've like figured, I think, out how to work around now, or put some fail safes in place. My mom knows somebody who got autoclaved to death. because they were in a walk-in autoclave and there was no, like, the door shut behind her and there was no way for her to open the door once the autoclave process started, and she got boiled alive. Steamed into a puddle.
Oh god, that's just brutal.
So I mean, like, they figured it out on autoclaves.
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually, after somebody died. But, yeah. Like, that's analogous. There's some fucking translational information there that you can use. Mm-hmm. Also, refrigerators. Just saw one today. Somebody's discarded fridge sitting on the side of the road without the doors taken off, and the doors were not taped shut. Like, the whole reason that's there's legislation about that and, like, municipal codes and shit is because children love to climb into shit like that, and then they shut the door, and they're like, uh-oh, and then it falls over, and then you're trapped inside, and you can't get out without somebody else's help, and no one can hear you're screaming.
Right.
Because you're a small child in a well-insulated box that is shut. So, like, there are analogous examples for why it's a bad idea to have a chamber that you can go into but can't get out of on your own.
Right.
Especially not unlike an autoclave.
Yes.
When the stakes are real fucking high, like you're stuck at the bottom of the ocean or floating at the surface and no one can find you. I mean, like, there's no excuse. Mm-hmm. That's why this is hilarious, is because this isn't like somebody dying as a noble scientific martyr testing the limits of our understanding of anything, right? Like, this isn't like we're shooting the first humans into space and I don't know, we've never done it before, so there's maybe a good likelihood somebody's going to die doing this, but we think that the risks don't outweigh the rewards, and so we're going to do it, and also, like, human whatever, right? Human intrepidness. But no, this isn't pushing anything except the bounds of stupidity.
Well, since we're trying to do a little gem for the people.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest an end note to this. We'd mentioned that the Wikipedia entry for Hamish Harding and Shahzada Dawood both have under died the date and the location, and the location being the North Atlantic Ocean. However, if you look at Stockton Rush's entry, it says North Atlantic Ocean, and then in parentheses it says near the wreck of the Titanic.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Even from beyond the grave.
It's great. It's
so self-promoting.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, some part of me has thought in my own mind, like, did he know he was going to die down there and he just didn't tell everybody else?
I mean, I don't know. I that seems, you know, maybe like he joked with himself and others about that. I don't know. He struck me as, you know, the footage I've seen of him and stuff and the way he talks about it, it's just that, like, bullish sort of, like, we're doing this. Like, we're disrupting an industry. Like, this is the wave of the future. Like, you guys are morons for not using carbon fiber to do this thing. Like, it's so great, you know. Basically, you know, classically hoisted by your own petard, right? Like, just fucking...
yes.
Yeah. I love that phrase so much because it's, as far as I can tell, it's pretty free and clear of, like, you know, any kind of, like, inherent...
undesirable connotations.
Yeah, like racism. I mean, there's
past
always
user groups.
Yeah, there's obviously the issue of, you know, Shakespeare being potentially, like, sort of exclusively white, right? Or, like, very much like, you know, the signature of the ruling slash, you know, colonial
in this
class. But
yeah, I mean, is this a function of him being Shakespeare, or is it a function of the fact that he unfortunately grew up in England of all places?
I'm
not trying to excuse it.
No,
I'm trying to say is, like, was it inevitable considering the culture in which he grew up embedded in?
Sure. Yeah. Like, it's not, I don't think anybody's going to be like, well, Shakespeare is the reason that, you know, colonial fucking England fucked everybody for centuries. Like, or, you know, millennia or however fucking long it was.
It was Shakespeare, goddammit.
Yeah. And I think there's arguments to be made for him being someone who was accepting of like the lower classes. Like he, you know, his plays were written for the kind of gal. Like, I don't know if you've read that much about, I think we've talked a little bit about this on the podcast before, where the reason his plays are so fucking wordy as fuck, and he takes like 15 million words to say one stupid thing. Like, you know, fucking, you know, you could absolutely summarize Romeo and Juliet
in a single sentence.
Yeah. You could just be like, you know, two people wanted to fuck and they couldn't because of their stupid family history. And then sadly, they one killed themselves and the other one couldn't live without them and they killed themselves. And there it's done. Like, you know.
You know, what we should do is,
I mean, there's a little bit of rapey shit that goes on. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. We should undertake a grand adventure where we read all of Shakespeare and then we summarize each one of them in a single sentence.
Okay. That's a serious condensation of information. But my point was...
A six-word sentence.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Not more or less, but 6 words, exactly.
6 words. It has to be 6.
Can they be like German compound words?
Yes.
You know, this like...
They must be German compound words. We must describe each of Shakespeare's works in a single sentence comprised of compounded German words.
Right.
6 of them only.
So my point is, the thing about Shakespeare, right, is that his plays are like really fucking wordy, and that's how they work well in the context. Like, if you put them in the context of how they were normally produced and put on, is in these playhouses where you had the great unwashed were all on the floor, right, and then like the royalty sat up in the boxes, and there was no, people weren't being quiet. They were shouting at the actors and the fucking throwing shit and, like, you know, being an unruly mob. And so his plays are written, or their plays, anyway, the plays, they're really wordy and they work in that environment because you don't have to hear every word to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, every scene plays out and it's beautiful if you can hear every word, but if you can't, you know what's going on. Even if you only catch like every couple of words, you're like, oh, I get it. I get what's going on here. Like this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God, is he still fucking talking about whether or not like existence means anything? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
But I can't remember what the point of this was. Hoisted by your own petard. Anyway, I like
such
that.
Such a good phrase.
It's such a good phrase. Yeah.
So one of the other things about the Titan sub.
Yes.
Is that Paul-Henri Nargellet, who was like a really experienced diver, and like arguably, you know how earlier I said all of these people should have been able to discern that this was a bad idea and the sub's construction was insufficient for an adventure like this. This guy especially should have known. And what I think happened with him is that he was incentivized to overlook the risks in a number of ways. And so that's what he did. So his family have filed a wrongful death lawsuit seeking more than $50 million that accuses Stockton Rush of gross negligence. And I'm not sure if... I mean, suing a dead guy obviously isn't going to get you anything. So I think that they're suing OceanGate, which was the company that built the sub. So it says here, according to NBC Boston, this is a story that they published August 7th. So just about a month ago from the time of this recording, it says... Paul-Henri Nargellet was among 5 people who died when the Titan submersible imploded during a voyage to the famed Titanic wreck site in the North Atlantic, June 2023. No one survived. OceanGate owned the submersible, and has since suspended operations because it was basically just like a vanity project for Stockton Rush. Like, it wasn't a company that like did stuff and had revenue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Their books were insane, by the way. Like, somebody looked up their finances afterwards and were like, well, no wonder. So a spokesperson for OceanGate declined to comment on the lawsuit. One of the attorneys on the case said that the goal of the lawsuit is to get answers for the family as to how this happened, who all were involved, and how those involved could allow this to happen. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think they're going to be like really disappointed. because all this information is already out there. They didn't have to sue anybody to get this information. I know all this information. I've read a ton about this, and like all of their, you can get everything on the internet. Like, you want to see their books, you want to see whatever, it's all out there.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think they're going to uncover anything like surprising. I don't think they're going to uncover anything in an investigation related to a lawsuit that isn't already knowable and out there in the public already. And I think they're going to be vastly more disappointed than they expect to be, because there's nothing, there's really nothing to know. It's very unsurprising that this happened.
Right.
It couldn't, again, every fork in the road, the decision, the wrong decision was made. The right decision, the wrong decision, make the wrong decision. Okay, how about now? Here's another set of decisions. Right decision, wrong decision. We'll take the wrong decision. Right. It's like, there's
a
huge paper
I'll have one
trail.
Of your very wrongest decisions, please.
Yes, exactly. So, like, the Coast Guard apparently is still doing an investigation that's ongoing. The craft itself was wrecked on the ocean floor around 1,000 feet from the front end of the Titanic. but it imploded from the pressure. And so, like, they were in the process of descent and then figured out maybe that something was wrong and we're trying to go back up again. That's the official party line. I don't know that that actually happened. I don't know, given this construction of the craft, if they would have had any warning before it imploded. It's not like it was a slow process. It's not like it was like, oh, for an hour it was creaking and then it crashed into itself. No, like it happened very quickly. So
yeah,
they like died somewhere in the water column when it crumpled in on itself. And then they sank to the bottom of the ocean floor and were just like stuck down there.
Right.
So like, I mean, I don't, there's just nothing mysterious about the situation, and it's completely understandable how this happened. Like, this family wants answers. I mean, just like, take a look at the video of the inside of that thing. It was doomed. It was never going to make it, clearly.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. It's just, yeah. So like, I don't know what I like. I just don't. What is okay? Here's what I really want to say. What's clear to me after following this story for a year is that at no point in time did they ever really try to manage this situation in a way that they were lying to people to get them to believe things that weren't true. They showed people what their plans were. People who know better were like, these are terrible plans. This will implode and kill you if you take this in the ocean for these reasons. And they said, well, we disagree, and we're taking it out to a portion of the world where nobody has any authority over what we're doing. And so like, there was no like,
you can't tell us what to do. Don't tell me how to lift.
Stop telling me what to do. Uh-huh. So like, it's not like they circumvented laws. It's not like they were hyper deceptive to the people who were going to be taking rides on it. They just, there wasn't any like avenue of oversight that could have prevented them from doing what they were doing. One, because they're adults, and two, because they were in international waters. So like, that's how it fucking happened.
Right,
a bunch of people built a like toilet paper tube into a submarine and went in it and predictably died trying to get to the Titanic of all things.
Yes.
What I think is hilarious, and I think I said this before in the other episode that we recorded about this, what I think is hilarious is that they're counting these deaths as victims of the Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
So like, however many years after the Titanic sank, killing everybody who was left on board.
Right.
The Titanic has 4 new victims associated with its like profile of deaths.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me. That's the buried story here.
Yes.
Ghost ship kills 4 more, however many years later. Like, when did the Titanic even sink? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometime.
Like 100 years ago or something.
Yeah.
100 years later, still killing people.
Right.
The unsinkable Titanic. Just like that unsinkable yacht that just sank wherever that was.
Right. Yes. Oh, that was...
And they
was...
literally said, it's unsinkable!
That's right.
And I'm like, it's a boat, so it's not unsinkable. It's sinkable. Because it's a boat.
I gotta find it in our conversation, because that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was nuts. I mean... Oh my gosh. Oh, and then the person, it was like a billionaire yacht sank, killed, and then a bunch of people were like, hey, that guy owes us money.
Yeah. The okay, yeah. So this was on I found the article. Hold on, I'll
great.
So the five tragic minutes that sank a super yacht. So August 22nd, 2024. An article on NBC News was written by Claudia Rizzo, Claudio Lavanga, and Yulia Tamalzin. Apologies for butchering those names. But anyway,
great
so
job.
There was a... So in Porticello, Italy, there was an 180-foot super yacht off of Sicily. And it sank in a storm. So 22 people were on board. 15 survived despite storm conditions and darkness, climbing onto a lifeboat and being rescued by a nearby sailboat. A nearby sailboat in the storm rescued them.
That's incredible and completely above and beyond.
Yeah. I mean, it's what you like. It's. Yeah, like it's
like obviously if you're out there, you're going to help people.
Yeah, you do what you can. I mean, there's laws around this, but you know, it's also you're supported in doing this, and also it's like it's what you do because that's why you're out. I mean, it's not why you're out there, but it's like being out there. You're like, you know, fucking all things are level like, now, right? Like we're all going to die right. in the ocean. Let's try not to.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say it's the great equalizer.
Yeah, the great equalizer. Anyway, there's such good quotes about this.
tell me,
my
tell.
My favorite one though in this article is the Giovanni Costantino, CEO of the Italian Sea Group, which owns Perini Navi that built the Bajan, that's the name of the super yacht, told Sky
the
News
unsinkable super yacht.
Yeah, the told Sky News that there were no flaws with the design or construction of the yacht. He said their structure and keel made boats like that unsinkable bodies. Unsinkable, wow. Meg. He said it was unsinkable.
Well,
not possible, safest design.
Impossibility to sink this boat, and yet I don't know how to reconcile these two competing realities.
And yet what happened is there was a storm. Mm-hmm. And in 5 minutes the boat was on the bottom of the ocean.
That's hilarious. Isn't that faster than normal?
Oh yeah, no, it's very quick. Especially for an unsinkable body. So like
right.
My boat, I have a J22, much smaller. It's a 22-foot sloop rig sailboat. It has two compartments.
So fun.
It's very fun.
Yes.
It has two compartments on it. It has a compartment in the front and a compartment in the back, and they're sealed compartments. And as long as one of those compartments isn't punctured, then it provides enough buoyancy for the rest of the boat to stay relatively near the surface. It's not going to, like... It's not going to now be a floating sailboat that you can sail around, but there will be an object that is sitting on the surface of the water that you can sort of cling to. That said, I don't have any beliefs that like there's lots of situations where that isn't going to help you, right?
Uh-huh.
Like really rough seas are really rough seas. Like, you know, down currents can suck things down into the ocean. Like all kinds of shit can happen when you've got really rough seas. Also, it's, you know, puncture one compartment. If one compartment gets punctured, there's shit out there puncturing shit, which means that the other compartment could get punctured. You know what I mean? Like, it's not right. Like there's nothing about this that to my mind, I'm like, oh, it's unsinkable.
I mean, like, okay, so here's a question for you. If you went to buy a boat and somebody told you, listen, there's nothing wrong with the design of this boat. This boat is perfect. The design is perfect. This boat is unsinkable. In no way, shape, or form will this boat ever sink. You can't sink it. It's perfect. What would you do?
I'd I would walk away. I'd be like, okay, right? Well, not this is so this is where I really struggle with like modern sales shit, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the problem is like I don't know whoever actually designed that boat, right? Some fucking person designed this boat, and they're probably like spent a lot of time trying to push the bounds of like, you know, sailboat design. You know, and are hoping for the best. And that person, that engineer probably would say, oh yeah, there's like 15 different ways this could go badly, but we've tried to mitigate them.
Yeah.
Whereas a fucking salesman walks up and is like, oh no, this is unsinkable. Our products are perfectly designed and unsinkable. Whatever happened here was 100% had nothing to do with us.
Operator error.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't help it if you're a moron and sank an unsinkable boat.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
And this is where I get into trouble at work too, right? Like I told you like that feedback.
Yeah.
Like I get feedback, and one of the feedbacks I get is like I should be more confident in my work. And I'm like, tell me a little bit more about that. And yeah. It came down to this person pointing out that I often give caveats to the statements that I'm making. Like, you know, I'll say something and I'll say, you know, assume with these assumptions in place. And they're like, you don't need to do that. You should just be give assurance that what you're doing is right. And I'm like, but that's disingenuous.
Right.
I know that's what everyone else is fucking
practice. If what you're trying to do is continuously improve upon something.
And also like, I'm passing this buck onto someone else who I think should know about what's going on. I'm not even working with customers, so I don't understand what the problem here is. That what you're telling me is that all the managers, they want to just hear that my shit's fucking amazing and it's always going to work. And statistically, that bears out in my body of work, but I'm never going to say that because that's fucking wrong.
Yeah.
I know the ways it could go wrong. Should I just not tell you about that? Like,
I think I would argue that it is part of your job, and you have a duty of care.
Yeah,
but
we don't. That's none of that exists anymore, right? Like, it's just fucking everything's up for grabs, right?
Just
like,
lie to me.
Just lie to me. I just want to
lie to me long enough for us to get paid, and then we can move on.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I mean, like that kind of thinking gets you imploded at the bottom of the ocean, 100,000 feet off the bow of the Titanic.
Right. Right.
You know, that's what you should say next time.
Yeah.
You should say, well, I have some counter feedback.
Yeah.
This is going to get you killed in the ocean. They'll be like, what? And be like, I'm not talking about this anymore. Next.
I have some counter feedback. Tell me how you're going to kill a billionaire without telling me you're going to kill a billionaire.
Right.
So I have this model of a submarine. And it leaks water in my test situation. But fuck it. Let's keep going.
Right.
Anyway, I don't think this is going to be a little gem for the people. I think this is a full-blown episode.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh,
wait, how long has it been? It's been
37
minutes. Yep. We could call it right now and it'd be a little gem.
No. Keep going.
The whole theme of this episode is no, keep going against all advice to the contrary. All informed opinions. Uh-huh. Disregard entirely.
Yeah.
Plow forward straight ahead until you go over the cliff.
No, it could still be a little gem. We can still
see also up. Boeing.
Let's see also Boeing.
Oh.
How is it that, I mean, it's like, I'm not surprised that this is where we're at. I just think about like,
yeah.
I'm suddenly having this flashback to being like a high schooler and sitting around with my friends being way too fucking stoned. And like speculating. I mean, this is why I quit cigarettes, is I wanted to see the future. I was like, I just somehow that was the motivation. And I was like, yep, I'm not smoking anymore. This is the one thing I can clearly do that will help me get towards the future and see what the fuck's going on. And now that I'm here, I'm like, man, where'd all that fucking enthusiasm and excitement for the future go? Oh, right. Now that I've met people and like I get how a lot of this shit works, it's like,
you've seen who lives in the future?
Right? You don't want to go there. I mean, the worst party ever. There's really good things. Like for one thing, like the whole fucking transgender movement, like as much as there's a lot of fucking vitriol and hatred going around, you know, towards people who fucking mostly are just minding their own goddamn business and don't deserve any of that shit. you know, and I said, see, there I am fucking caveating shit. Of course, there's probably one person who happens to be a trans person who's also an asshole. But you know what? That's like fucking normal. Like, that's okay. Like, you know, fuck well them for being an asshole. Range. That has nothing to do with whether or not they, you right. know, I don't need to know about their gender at all to know that this person's an asshole necessarily. Anyway,
right. Right.
That's neither here nor there. My point is that, like, there are good things, right? Like, you yeah. know, it's good. It's terrible what is happening, but it is good that that we have this whole view now of like our society, right? And like, we can see yeah. that there are individuals who are being harmed, and that's available and that's knowable. And that's something that some of us can choose to be mindful of and do less harm, right? Like, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's a future. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're not where I want to be, of course, but you know, and then of course there's the whole gay agenda. Like, they got their shit pushed through and now they're allowed to get married and be miserable, I guess, or whatever. Right. Like, you know.
Right. Yes.
And that was a God, the fucking
I love the label. I just love the name, the gay agenda.
I know, I love it so much.
Like, it's so it's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the more I think about how somebody somewhere takes that seriously, yes, the more funny it is to me. Like, the title, The Gay Agenda.
Yeah.
Like,
here they come. Oh, we're all fucked. Oh, no.
They have meeting minutes and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, they are organized and they are prepared.
Oh, man. They've got a stack. You mm-hmm. need to raise your hand.
Right.
Do you know, like, who was it that came up with the phrase the gay agenda?
I don't know.
Like, who coined that phrase?
I don't know. It's so good, though.
Oh, I think I need to Google it.
There's another more recent phrase that also makes me laugh a little bit in the same vein, which is the Antifa. The idea that, like, yes. anti-fascism is somehow...
It's a top-down organization, yes. with leadership, yes. that you can, yes. apprehend. Yes. It's like, I think you misunderstand anarchism.
I think also you misunderstand what the fuck anti-fascism means. Like, when yeah. that came out and I was like, wait, I can't work this out. And I thought just inherently America, the U.S., generally most people are anti-fascist. That was my understanding. It's like, no, I'm not for fucking insane fascism. Like, let's yeah. fucking move on. Like, we all yeah. know that how that ends.
Right.
But no, apparently it's yeah. it's a thing, you know, we call it Antifa and now it's a whole fucking thing. Like, people are organized
organized, there's chapters, you have to pay dues,
yes.
you can't miss meetings.
No,
so
your membership would be in peril otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, how are you gonna how
I'm really
are you ever
right now I'm actually have some questions about your devotion to this anti-fascist movement.
I'm starting to question your dedication. So the term gay agenda, according to Wikipedia,
yes, yeah.
or radical gay agenda.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is even better.
It's so much better. It's like, God. All the superlatives. Like, the radicalist, the gayest agendist. Agendaist? Agenda? Yes. Agendum?
Been used by members of the Christian right to refer to efforts to change government policies and laws on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues. For example, yeah. same-sex marriage, civil unions, LGBT adoption, blah, 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 all the things, right? All right. the things. Just living your life like a normal person, like everybody else gets to live.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, the term or the phrase gay agenda was popularized by a video series produced by a California evangelical religious group called Springs of Life Ministries, and the first video in a series titled The Gay Agenda was released in 1992 and distributed to hundreds of Christian right organizations. Tens of thousands of copies of it sold, like, all over the place. So it was some weird Springs of Life Ministries church, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, some weird splintery fringy,
I mean,
Christian people.
Surprise, surprise.
I know, right? I mean, listen, I feel like the gay agenda is the only time any of us are on task,
right?
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, they just keep me fucking organized and on task,
right.
and moving forward. And
at least we have an agenda.
Right?
Well, subs sink, ships fail.
Yes.
But the gay agenda perseveres.
Oh, yeah. God.
Is our color of the day team available for comment, or are they still on hiatus?
They're still on hiatus, sadly.
So we've got... They're lost on a camping trip in the woods. We haven't seen them in months. They might be eating each other's bones.
They could have gotten into a submersible and disappeared down below the depths of the ocean.
That's true.
Yeah. Or got on an unsinkable sailboat to sail around the world. What was I going to say? Oh, something, a to-do thing, which we can, our listeners could appreciate. So all of our amazing domain collections have been migrated to Squarespace because Google stopped doing domain hosting.
That's right.
Or domain management or fucking registrar shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And because of that, half my domains are migrated away from, I don't have necessarily a reason to have a problem with Squarespace, just that I heard very good things about, what's it called? It's called pork something. Fuck. Hold on.
Pork? P-O-R-K?
Well, hold on. Pork bun, I think.
Pork bun?
Yeah, pork bun.
Oh.
Yeah, pork bun does... Porkbun.com is like a business in Oregon, and they have very good ratings for this kind of shit, or for doing basically domain registrar stuff. And so I've been slowly transferring all my domains to them. They also offer a nice, and man, this is a free fucking, I think this is the first time we really advertised something, but they have a nice, they have like deals where you can pay for like 10 years at a time and like lock in like a particular rate
for that 10
years and stuff. So yeah, they're like, the reason people like them is they basically resell domain, top level domain, or they sell domain names, and they sell them at the going rate. So like,
that's amazing.
Whatever the rate is, that's what you're going to like. They're not, it's not like, like Google was just $10 a year for the longest time. And that was like overpaying for a while, and then a little bit underpaying. And, you know, it just sort of, whereas they're kind of like, you can get these, and then they have like deals on them and stuff. Not that I'm saying, you know, it's just, to my mind, their management and their support staff have been really helpful. I had a question because I was like moving a whole bunch of domains.
Oh.
And I asked them, and they were like super responsive, and I had a fucking problem with the fucking
jackal trying to like fuck you over on the other domains.
Yeah, there was that HostGator bullshit that they were just like nonsense, like billing me shit and holding the domain hostage and charging me like hundreds of dollars to get the domain unlocked from them. And anyway, you know, because I don't need to get into it. Anyway, they never, like, even after I transferred the domain, they still claimed that they had it, but Porkbun had it, and they were like, no, our shit's fucking locked down, you're fine. And I was like, okay, great. So so I just told HostGator to eat a dick, and they can sort out that. Because their thing is like, oh, well, we'll talk to our engineers. And I'm like, you don't have any engineers anymore. Like, everybody got fired. Like, you just, all you have is, like, a couple of, like, salespeople who are trying to sell shit that they don't even understand how it works.
And we just stated how we feel about sales.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. So long story short is that the domain name that is the objectcolor.com, where we host the website we wrote that does the object color, the colors, is broken, and I need to transfer it and get it all set up again. So,
son of a bitch.
Exactly.
So, like, none of the people who do the colors of the day are able to even do them.
Exactly. Yep.
Well,
right.
I guess that's that.
Yeah, that's all there is to say about it.
Don't get any submarines. Don't get in them.
Don't get
not in worth any it. Or on any super expensive yachts that somebody's trying to tell you are unsinkable. Like, just stay away from people who want to ram superlatives down your throat at all times.
Yes.
Like, never, always, best, unsinkable.
Yep. Except for our podcast, which is absolutely the very best podcast. Wasn't it number one in fucking Argentina or something?
Where the
fuck was it?
Yep. I don't know. Someplace we're number one, and that's what matters.
We recently got a marketing email that told us some amazing shit about her podcast. I'm looking it up right now. Hold on.
Things I didn't even know about myself. That's why I'm going to give them a bulldozer full of money.
That's right. Yes.
Right. That's what they want.
Yep. My computers. All right. We're going to do that. We're going to go to mail.
I'm thinking about selling plants.
Oh, yeah.
Like over the internet.
Yeah. Pod charts for my birthday, August 26th. We were number one in design in Rwanda.
What?
For my birthday. Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. I'm telling
you. Hey, I missed your birthday.
I mean, it's not too late.
We're in separate places. We'll be in the same place soon.
We will be. And also, like, it's still my birthday year.
True. Yeah. Happy birthday. I need to mail you something for your birthday.
It's my post-birthday month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think we talked on my birthday. We just didn't acknowledge it, which hurt me deeply, and I'm very upset.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Our relationship, my relationship with you hinges on you reading my mind constantly and anticipating my every need.
And never missing your birthday.
And never missing my birthday. Yes, that also.
Yeah. And I have failed on two counts. That means both what is it called when you have a air hold in your boat that makes it not sink?
Sealed chambers, whatever sealed.
So if your birthday holes. Was a boat with sealed chambers, I would have punctured both of them.
Yes, in fact, you did. I was deflated like a balloon. Actually, it was more like an intense pop of a balloon, overinflated balloon, right near your head.
Oh my God! I wouldn't know anything about what that's like. It certainly doesn't scare the piss out of you, and then also make a sound like wee in your ear for like a half hour. Right, God. I was like, am I ever gonna hear again? I don't know.
I mean, I'm glad you did, but holy shit.
Oh my. Well, here's a little shout out. Last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is now available in full on HBO.
Oh, nice.
It's allegedly the last one.
Allegedly,
but every time Larry David says it's the last season, they add another season like 2 years later.
That's true. They often do. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Okay.
I guess that's that.
Look, we made it to 52 minutes. So that's
52 fucking minutes.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're still listening, we totally forgot to do the thing where we tell you to send us an email. But Dana would love to hear from you, and Dana is the CEO. And co-founder or founder, I don't know. It's her fucking fault. All this shit is her fault.
All this is her fault.
Yep. We blame her. We hold her accountable. You too can hold her accountable by sending her an email at her email address, Dana, D-A-N-A at fcbm.io. And if you send an email to Dana, she would be delighted to hear from you / be very disappointed in your criticisms, whichever. Yeah. Anyway, send an email. We'd love to hear from you. If you're like, well, I know Ned and Meg, but I don't know Dana. Well, you should send it.
Now's your chance.
Now's your chance. Dana is delightful. She's great.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
ask Dana.
She's the worst. It's her fault. But also, we're contractually obligated to say she's great. No, she's great. And she's been on the podcast, like the early ones, and we may get back around to that.
Someday,
there.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Oh, wait. Okay, were you going to say something? You were using full adult voice tones there.
Oh, I don't think so.
Sounds good. All right.
Okay. Okay. Bye.